Hi, I'm Mel Pearson from the Michigan Tech hockey team, and you're listening to the voice of the Huskies, Mix 93.
Go Huskies.
It's time now for the Mel Pearson Show on Mix 93.
And a second opportunity out, 3-on-1 for the Huskies. Johnson across, Johnson in front, score! And the Huskies start back 2-on-1, shorthanded. It's Pianola with Ricks. Ricks loops, shoots, scores! Dennis Ricks with a great shot on the short side.
And now, here's Mel Pearson and your host, Dirk Hembroff.
All right, thank you very much, Josh. And yes, it is a special off-season edition of the Mel Pearson Show right here on Mix 93. Head coach Mel Pearson in our studio after an Easter weekend that I think you enjoyed. Boy, what gorgeous weather we had, coach, for Easter weekend, and it's nice to have you back.
Good morning, Dirk. Happy to be with you. And I had a nice Easter, and what a beautiful day. And I hope everybody had a good day yesterday.
Well, it really was. And lots going on in the world of hockey. And since the last time you and I talked, season's been over for about a month for the Huskies, but the national championship over a week away, or week ago now, Union winning it. And I know you were there as part of the committee and on the board and had a firsthand look at this. Talk a little bit about the tournament and your thoughts on Union beating Minnesota and for their first championship.
Well, yeah, Dirk, and like I said, obviously we've only been down a month, but it seems like it's been 2 years.
You
know, I can't wait to get back at it. But I'm on the NCAA selection committee. Each league has one person that it's assigned to that committee, so it's a six-member committee, and I represent the WCHA. So part of my duties, if our team is not involved in the tournament, number one, I have to go to a regional. So first I went to the West Regional with in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and then obviously I went to the Frozen Four. So good experience, however you'd like to have your team there. But, I've been to the tournament, I guess, 11 years as a coach when I was at Michigan, and this time I was on the other side of it, so without a team and not involved. And you know, you get to learn a lot about what goes on the other side of it, everything that makes up the tournament, how the teams are picked, how they're seeded, some of the issues that come up during the tournaments for TV. I mean, there's so many little things you don't even think about when you're a coach there. So it was a good experience for me. The one thing I liked is watching the practices and stealing drills, I guess. I wouldn't call it stealing, but maybe boring. Not that I'm going to give them back, but different drills, different teams do, and the coaches are great about sharing and those things. And then also just being down there and just watching how the teams prepare, different things that go on, how teams carry themselves. It's pretty interesting. So overall, as much as you want to be there, I think I really learned some things that hopefully I can, pass on to our team.
Going into the Frozen Four, what was your hunch as far as who might come away with this?
Well, just when the whole field was selected, the 16-team field, I thought Union would have a good team, and I told people that they're going to have as good a chance as anybody. They were just built for this year, this tournament. They were in the Frozen Four a couple of years ago. They've had a lot of success, and a lot of older guys. Their seniors and juniors are older, a couple of years out of high school when they became freshmen, and they had those key upperclassmen, and you could really see. I like Minnesota, though, too, just having seen them quite a bit, and the job that they do and the way they play, and with the goaltender and Adam Wilcox. So those were the two teams that I thought would get to the final, and they did, and it was a great game. I mean, the building was electric in Philadelphia. Philadelphia, the selection committee in the city of Philadelphia did an outstanding job. Wells Fargo, Philadelphia Flyers, all those people did a fabulous job, and I wouldn't doubt seeing that tournament back in Philly at some point because they did such a great job.
Let's go back to Union a little bit, and I'm talking to a lot of different people on how a team like this is able to do it, and I know you have a better background on what actually is involved here, and maybe they don't have as much of a disadvantage as a lot of people perceive them to have.
Well, and you're right, and this tournament, this team basically started this run about 12 years ago when they hired a guy named Kevin Sneddon. And Kevin's now the head coach at the University of Vermont and mm-hmm. did a nice job there in the tournament this year. But back then, Kevin really took the program to a new level and started the foundation for what Union is today. And then once Kevin left, Nate Lehman came in, and Nate's now at Providence, and he's doing a good job. But that foundation has been set a while ago, and it takes time. But a lot of people, the question is, how can a small school of 2,100 students with no scholarships compete in today's Division I college hockey landscape? And I tell you what happens is everybody says, well, you don't have scholarships, how can you do it? But what these schools have, like the Harvards, the Yales, is financial aid, where, non-financial aid schools or non-Ivy schools are limited to 18 scholarships. When you're at a financial aid school, you don't have a limit of 18 financial aid packages. You have as many as you want. So, and they give out quite attractive financial aid packages. So it's almost like having scholarships, mm-hmm. and it's like having more than 18 scholarships. You don't have a salary cap per se. So so I think it's a little misleading when, people say, well, they don't have scholarships. You know what? They have scholarships. They're just called financial aid, mm-hmm. and they have more than 18. So they actually have a bigger pool of money to use than actually what the scholarship schools do. So it's a little deceiving that way. But take nothing back from Union or Yale or any of those schools. They do a fantastic job, and it all starts with your recruiting and the players you go after, and obviously Union's done a great job at that.
You had mentioned to me after the national championship game that you thought Minnesota had overachieved this year. Great team, but yeah. It wasn't as surprising to you and to people who know the game as well as you do as to maybe some of us who thought, well, Minnesota should win this game.
Well, yeah, it was interesting. Coach Lucia from Minnesota and we're talking about, I've known him for a long time. So we're talking about just, he even felt that they were, overachieved just because of so many young players they had. I think they played 6 freshman forwards in the final game. The kids they lost early, like Bugstad and Howell, playing for the Wild right now, and Bugstad played for Florida. Guys you could have in their lineup. So, but they've done a real good job, and obviously it all started with Adam Wilcox giving a chance to win. But they're usually a good team. They get good talent, and they've got a great coaching staff, and they do a fabulous job there. And they did again this year.
Do you think they'll be that much better next year because of all the youth that they have this year?
If they can keep people. Yeah. And that's always the hard part. And we'll get into a little bit about Phoenix Copley and our situation here. But as you're a good program, as you recruit good talent, you're going to lose that talent early. It's just the way the landscape is now. And if you can keep a player 4 years, that's a bonus. Like Union. Union's a perfect example, as is Yale the year before. Those programs are keeping their players for the most part. I know Union lost their best player this year as a junior, so they won't have a senior year. But if you can keep kids into their junior and senior year, that really makes a difference in your program. And Union, Yale, last couple of years have been able to do that, where teams like Minnesota and some of the top programs, or not, I shouldn't say top programs, but the bigger programs who have a tradition of losing players early continue to do so. So now all of a sudden that field is shrunk a little bit, and that's why college hockey is so competitive, and that's why I think you'll see more and more teams like Union. That's the first national championship they've ever won.
Right.
That you'll see these teams who traditionally you didn't see maybe 30 years ago. So the landscape has changed, which is good. I think it's a good thing for college hockey. Gives a lot of teams a chance. If you can get in that NCAA tournament, if you can get in that 16 team field, anything can happen.
I want to go back to the semifinal game between North Dakota and Minnesota. How big of a blow, or was it a blow, to North Dakota not being able to win that game? They have come so close now so many times, and they have not been able to win the big one under Coach Haxtell.
Yeah, it's tough, and they've done a good job there, obviously. They're a great program, and I don't use that word great lightly. Mm-hmm. If you look at his record and what they've been able to accomplish, and I remember in 11 they had maybe the best team since Hack has been there, and we shut them out when I was at Michigan 2-0, and our goaltender played fabulous. So it's tough, but that was a tough way to lose a game. There was 9 seconds left in the game. We'll set the table here. 9 seconds left in the game. North Dakota's on a power play, and they have the faceoff in Minnesota's defensive zone. obviously they lose a draw. Minnesota goes down and scores shorthanded. I was telling our team the other day, if you lined up Minnesota's four guys in that same situation with a face-off deep in their zone, and you put 9 seconds off the clock and nobody else on the ice except the opposition's goalie, and you said you go down and try and score, I bet you wouldn't score maybe 9 out of 10 times.
I bet you're right, yeah.
You know, it was just such a freak thing.